It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson and thank you for joining us. I appreciate each and every one of you for listening, and we are working to bring truth and clarity to these issues for you so that you can engage with friends, family, and colleagues about these issues, because we have to change hearts and minds, change our culture. And we have to understand these issues, and that's why we do the show. So thank you so much for listening. You're each treasured, valued. Strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I always love to say thank you to the great team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And Steve, you really keep this thing going with what you're doing behind the boards. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I'm just listening to the open there when, in your own words, it takes work to get your mind behind these concepts, these ideas. It takes work to have these discussions, and very well said.
It does. And I think we've gotten mentally fat and lazy here in America. We've taken so much for granted, and the things that we've taken for granted really are under assault, right under our noses. And I know many of us are like, what do we do about this? We've got to know what's going on, search for truth and clarity, communicate that. And it is Holy Week. We really need to pray for our country as well. The founders always noted that providence, the divine provider, had his hand on this country, and he still does. But we really, I think, must pray for our country right now and then act as well. And the first thing to do is to understand these issues, and that's why we do the show, Steve.
Well, one of the greatest gifts given to all mankind was the freedom to choose, the free will. And it's just kind of, it's just wiggly right now to see what we're doing with that free will. And it's great cause for concern.
It is. I'm encouraged that the veil is off on this, but we really need to pray for our country. And so we've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be going through some of the headlines in the first and second segment. And then I was reading a piece in the Epoch Times about a young man, Chris Norton, who had an injury on the football field and was told that he would never move again, and was truly inspired by his story. And that's going to be in segments 3 and 4. Thought I'd do something a little different. During Holy Week, we're highlighting some charities, stories like this, and you will not want to miss that. So be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And I am on my disclaimer again, Steve, I'm a little behind on emails, but I will be getting back to people. I was watching one other video podcast yesterday, and the host said, I'm behind on emails. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. So do email me. I appreciate that immensely, and I will get back with you, but just needed to give you a little disclaimer.
Doesn't it make you feel good when you get kind of, what's the word, you kind of get backed up by someone else who's seeing the same issues, same problems that you are?
It did. It was a little bit helpful, and I could see his consternation as well, as far as a number of hours in the day. It just seems like we could use more. I try to be more efficient. We do put out a lot of work here, Steve. When you look at the amount of stuff that comes out of our little team, it's pretty amazing.
No, I either look at your website or some of the other variables here in the station and see how much has been sent out to just so many different places. Like, wow, a handful of people sure can do a lot of things.
they can when they're focused on a mission, and And that's why I just so appreciate all these great people that I get to work with. If you want to be part of what we're doing and would like to contribute, we do really appreciate that as well. We are an independent voice, and we realize that these independent voices are very, very important. This Sunday on our America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, we'll be talking with Marine Major General William Mullen III, and also Marine Vietnam era veteran Paula Sarles, and a really interesting conversation. He actually has written a book, Fallujah Redux, and I thought it was just a fascinating conversation, Steve.
Yeah, the little bit I heard of it, because I wasn't the original recording person involved in it, but what I have heard in getting it ready for Sunday, it's there's another great story to tell.
And it really is important. You know, history, I think that's one of the things that we as a culture, as we're only seeing, and it's because of the education system, we're only seeing us right now. It's a very selfish view of lives, and instead of going back and looking at our history and understanding that, and then looking forward, moving forward to these wonderful principles of our country's founding, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It is a beautiful thing to connect those dots, Steve.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear that quote now, I got to think of Biden saying, you know, the thing.
Yeah, the thing. You mean the Declaration of Independence, right?
No, I think he was, you know, trying to think of the creator, you know, and he couldn't bring himself to say creator. So I said, you know, the thing.
Honestly, I have no comment. I don't know what to say about all that. It's astounding. But let's move over. It's Easter weekend, and right around Easter weekend, another thing happens, and that is the Final Four. And it's pretty exciting. Houston's going to be playing Baylor, so it's a Texas matchup there, and then UCLA versus Gonzaga. And I normally pay more attention to the Final Four, but have just been busy with other things. I did not realize this, but that Gonzaga is entering the Final Four, staring down history, it says. No college basketball team has finished the season as an undefeated national champion since Indiana did that in 1976. Their record is 30-0, and the Zags are just two wins away from doing that. So that's always something kind of fun to watch when you have some kind of story going on like that, Steve.
Yeah, and I felt like, although it was obvious to see it, until you mention it, an all-Texas matchup, you know that state's going to be buzzing.
It is going to be buzzing for sure. That's exciting. But a place to go see all the games is Hooters Restaurants. They have March Magic. So their dine-in special, it says, catch these great deals before they bounce out of here. Buy 10 boneless wings and get a Big Daddy for $14.99. Buy 15 boneless wings and a 64-ounce pincher for $20.99. And they also have specials for to-go. They have party packs if you're going to have friends over to watch the games. So be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the sponsor tab, and you'll see all these great sponsors that come up. And then click on the Hooters icon there, and it'll bring up all their specials. And another one of my great sponsors is on the line with me right now, and that is Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, a longtime friend, longtime sponsor of both the shows. Karen Levine, welcome.
Good morning, Kim.
It is Holy Week, Easter week, and I'm asking, what are your favorite charities? Chris Cantwell mentioned a couple of his the other morning. What is one of your favorite charities that you wanted to highlight for our listeners today?
Well, thanks for the opportunity, and you know, one of my most favorite charities is the Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, and they do amazing work in rehoming golden retrievers. And I myself have two rescue pups, and I just love being involved with them and the work they do.
Well, and actually, I have a very good friend that has a rescue pup as well. And she is, she's a beautiful, beautiful dog. She has these long legs. And I said she's one of the models of the golden retriever breed for sure. And she's just she's bringing a lot of joy to that family.
Well, and that's what's exciting about the work they do. They received, I believe it was 1,000 applications last year for dogs, and we only received less than 300 dogs. And, of course, we don't want more dogs, but we do want dogs that need better homes, don't have homes, are living on the street. In the case of Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, some of our pups come all the way from Turkey.
It is astounding work that they do, and I know that that is something that is very near and dear to your heart. When you were talking about 6,000 people wanting dogs and not very many, it kind of reminds me of the real estate market here in Colorado right now, Karen.
That is a very good segue, Kim. And, yes, we have thousands of people that would like to become homeowners, and we don't have thousands of houses to put them in. It is definitely a seller's market and has been a seller's market for these most recent years. And buyers are having to work hard. They are having to claw to the top to be successful in their negotiations to achieve home ownership. But I would say that we have some great strategies on my team, and we've been very successful in getting buyers into homes and into good homes, not just a home.
And in this kind of a market, this is where you really need a professional like you. And you've been in the business, you've seen ups and downs. And how can people reach you, Karen Levine?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
And it really is important to have a professional on your side of the table. And also, you can help out with new bills also. I know that there's out on the perimeter, there's some new developments coming online. And the trick with that is to bring you to that first negotiation regarding the new build. But once again, it's so important to have a professional on your side of the table. And I think sometimes people think that, oh, gosh, I could do this myself, or oh, I have a friend that just got into the business and they can help me. Typically, if you're not working with a professional, you can leave money on the table, Karen.
Most definitely. And I think in times like these, that really putting together a contract that protects the consumer, that protects your interests, is something that comes with skill and with time in the business. And I've seen so many different scenarios that I can bring those to the table and do my very best to make sure that we've strategized well and that we achieve the goal that you're wanting to achieve with as little risk as possible.
And again, that's Karen Levine. Number's 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. Karen, I wish you and yours a very happy Easter, and we will talk to you next week.
That sounds good, and same to you, Kim. Enjoy Easter Sunday.
Will do. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with some headlines in the second segment, and then Chris Norton, the very inspiring story in segments 3 and 4. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I wanted to go to our inspiration wisdom piece of the day. And this is from Dale Carnegie. And Dale Carnegie was an American writer and lecturer and the developer of courses in self-improvement, salesmanship, corporate training, public speaking, and interpersonal skills. He was born into poverty on a farm in Missouri, and he was the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is a bestseller that remains popular today. He was born in 1888. He died in 1955. And this is what he said. Most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. And Steve, I actually am looking at the public policy of what is happening in America right now. And Joe Biden has come in, and his handlers and that whole group, and they have come in, and they've been, I'd call it almost fast and furious with the amount of legislation and the amount of spending. It almost like they're spending us into oblivion. And I took this quote. First of all, I was looking for inspiration because Chris was going to be on. But when I looked at it right now, I do feel that they are trying to take away the hope of the American people. And this quote is, you have to keep on trying, even when the clouds look so dark, Steve.
No hope at all certainly describes the way I feel when I first look at, this latest thing of Biden that he's dragging out, coupled with the last batch of spending, which has not even cooled off yet. And yet here we go again with another multi-billion or not trillion dollar effort. Yeah, we talked about it before. Do these guys know, as cool as they try to be, is that the clock is running? The midterms really aren't that far off. And as the nation kind of wakes up to what's really happening to them, there's nobody who can escape this kind of stuff. You might call yourself, loud and proud Democrat, but you want to tell me that none of these things are impacting your life and you don't see what's coming?
Well, and it is not compassionate to take from one person to give to another. And of course, they have all kinds of reasons why they say that they are doing that. And you can be rest assured that much of this money is going to NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and those can be a variety of things. It could be unions. It could be nonprofits. That basically they're padding their pockets on that. But remember when we had Robert Woodson on, Steve, and he said that it is a real problem when you start to separate income from work. And I've talked to a number of business owners that say, we can't find people to work. And when you look at what is happening with people just having money that is arriving in their checking account from the federal government. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they had talked to one of their kids. They said, I haven't had this much money ever. And the parent responded and said, just remember, that's not your money. Somebody had to go out and earn that, or somebody will have to pay that at some point in time in the future. And there's a big irresponsibility about that. And I really thought that was very appropriate what the parent said on that, Steve.
The other thing that gets me is when it flies in the face of common sense. Have we not learned in the last 5 years or so what happens when you reduce the corporate tax structure? And here he is, he's going to launch this thing out, and he's telling us right up front, well, we expect the corporations will pay a large brunt of this because we're going to raise corporate taxation back from 21% to 28%.
And don't you remember what happened when the corporate rate was so high? Is the corporations moved offshore. And then when Donald Trump came in and they lowered the taxes for and corporations, it brought those corporations back. And so that's what's going to happen. These corporations are just like people. I cannot believe it when you have people that are fleeing these high tax states like New York. And then they go to other states and they vote for the same kind of people that put that in place. People like, we'll talk to Jason McBride about this in just a little bit, but people like to have more money in their pocket. They don't like to pay excess taxes. And I really think that taxes all in should probably be, and I mean all in, should be about 10%. And then if people tithed and gave to their charities, not these nonprofits that get all these government grants and all, but if people actually had money that they gave to charities, it would make charities have to be competitive as well. When charities get the bulk of their money, or I would say charity, nonprofit, when they say nonprofit, that doesn't mean it doesn't mean that they don't make a profit, but a nonprofit doesn't pay corporate income taxes. So you can see how this again can pick winners and losers, because these nonprofits can be doing a business, and they are, but they don't pay corporate income taxes. Do you not see a problem with this, Steve?
Well, it's so multifaceted, and again, I just if if the basic, you know, America would just wake up and see what's happening to them right now and understand that you cannot escape this. This is coming. This will come calling for you. You might not be the, you know, CEO of a big corporation, but ultimately it will trickle down. I mean, are those big corporate America that the argument is always made, well, they don't really pay taxes. They just pass it on to the consumer. So, hey,
which is true.
Go figure.
I wonder if people are starting to miss Trump yet. All these people that were never Trumpers that just disliked him so much and really pontificated about the way he talked. I was talking to a millennial the other day, and he said, I did really well under Donald Trump. But this was Donald Trump's statement on yesterday regarding the plan. And I think this pretty well just gets right to it. Former President Donald Trump, in a statement, called the plan among the largest self-inflicted economic wounds in history. If this monstrosity is allowed to pass, the result will be more Americans out of work, more families shattered, more factories abandoned, more industries wrecked, and more main streets boarded up and closed down, just like it was before I took over the presidency 4 years ago. And Trump said, adding that the plan will implement the largest tax hike in American history. Michael Bellaman, president and CEO of Associated Builders and Contractors, a national construction industry trade association representing more than 21,000 members, said while ABC advocates for any plan to modernize the country's infrastructure, Biden's proposal has so far sparked disappointment. That is a major understatement, but I think that Trump really nails it. This is what we are going to see. And Steve, this goes back to the World Economic Forum that meets yearly in Davos. It has all these quote-unquote industry leaders, leaders from throughout the world. And this is one of their goals for 2030. You can look it up. It says U.S. dominance is over. We'll have a handful of global powers. That's their number three goal. And their number seven goal is the values that built the West will have been tested to breaking point. So you can see that this is actually, this is about power. It's even more than money, it's about power. And I do want to get to our bill of the day as well. And let me get up here to that on this. And this is regarding RTD. And as you know, when I was on city council, I could see what was occurring here was that it was an assault on our freedom of mobility. Now, it took me a while to actually understand what was going on, but freedom of mobility. My friend Helen Raleigh, who grew up in China, says this: freedom of mobility, to be able to go where you want to, when you want to, is a free society. A non-free society is a society that where everyday people have to go where basically on a time frame and in the mode of transportation that the elites have in mind. And this, let's see here. Here we go. It's a House Bill 1186, and it proposes a whole bunch of different things. But one of the things that it proposes is removing the longstanding requirement that RTD generate just 30% of its revenue from the fare box collections. And I'm not even sure that they hit that, because many times it's only about 20% of what you pay it actually covers the cost of your ride. So let's think about it. If you're paying $5 for your fare, and it's only covering 20% of that, then now I have to do the, normally I'm really fast on math. So the actual cost is $25. So let's think, if you're going to do a round trip downtown for $50 and you have a family of four, you're not going to do that. You'd much rather use your car, right? But who's going to make up this? And it goes through sales tax, which again is a regressive tax. But this is, I thought this is really important. This is, I think it's Senator Bridges. He's a Democrat from Greenwood Village. And he said the fare box ratio only covers 20 to 40% at most. Now you would think that they would be able to figure that out, because that's a pretty big range. But he said ultimately here that what they want to do is, I had highlighted this, that they basically wanted to get people out of their cars and onto public transportation. And that is really not the proper role of government, Steve.
No, it's not. And I kind of had half of a chuckle this morning because my favorite RTD train, I pass it every morning, is a three-car train running down 225 that's southbound. Nobody's in it. And I keep asking the question, why can't we, if you insist on running a 4 o'clock train, then why does it have to be three cars? And the answer to that, they'll tell you, well, we're going to need three cars later in the morning. Fine. Make up a three-car train at that point. But there's no, the wear and tear and the maintenance, the power consumed, they are just, they are bound and determined and doomed to be a, you know, a subsidized entity.
Well, okay. And here, I found the quote. This is what Bridges said from Greenwood Village. He said, the goal of RTD is not to be self-sustaining. The goal of RTD is to get people off our roads and get people who rely on public transportation onto our buses and trains.
Congratulations. At least number one, you're well on the way. That first point, they're well on the way.
Yeah, they are not. And my gosh, if we ran business like that in America, now America would not be America. And Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management, is that not an amazing quote? I mean, the veil is off. The goal of RTD is not to be self-sustaining. I mean, business could not survive if that was their goal.
No, I completely agree with you, Kim. But like you guys say, they think our money is their money to do whatever they want to with. So anyway, we can figure to keep more of it in our pockets and out of their pockets, I think is a good thing.
Well, it is a good thing. And that is one of the things that you do. I did want to make a quick comment on this, though. If all of these legislators and all these bureaucrats and politicians and interested parties that want to get everyday people, as they say, onto public transportation and buses and trains, let's start with them. Let's have Senator Bridges take RTD down to the State House every day, because I guarantee you that they're going to get there later, and at least it might slow some of this terrible legislation going on down there if they all had to take public transportation to get to and fro. What do you think of that plan?
Well, I think that's a very efficient idea that kills two birds with one stone. It makes them boil in their own oil and also slows down the destruction of the country.
I totally agree. We're coming in on Holy Week. We've got some great shows planned. I know on Friday we're going to have Chris Stefanik on, who is a friend of yours. But what is happening as we're coming into the markets? Is the market closed on Friday for Good Friday still?
Yeah, the market is closed on Good Friday, Kim. And I was going to mention, since we're talking so much about taxes today, you know, don't forget that Roth IRAs still exist, and those are still a good way to end up later down the road when we likely would have a higher tax rate with an account that would be tax-free. And it might hurt a little bit now to pay the taxes, to make the contribution, or it might hurt a little bit now to pay the taxes to convert some of your traditional IRA over to Roth. But I think it's probably going to hurt more later. So if you can afford a little bit more tax now while we're at very low tax rates, I still believe the Roth is a great consideration as far as how to structure your accounts if you can swing it.
Okay. And it sounds like a good plan. And Biden, I mean, basically, he's guaranteed that he's raising taxes across the board, yes?
Well, I would imagine he will in one sneaky way or another. It sounds like the corporations are just going to come after him all out. He's made promises not to raise taxes on anybody making less than X, but we've seen promises like that go out the window before, Kim, or sneaky ways where they don't, quote, change the tax brackets.
Right.
But they do other things to cause more income to hit the bracket. So if you're asking me if I believe him and that he's telling the truth, that would be a resounding no.
I think that's why people should sit down with you. These Roth IRAs sound like they may make sense for different people. So how can people reach you, Jason McBride, to ask about that?
Best way to learn about that and many other things, give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Kim. Have a good one.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk with Chris Norton. And I saw a piece in the Epic Times that he had written, four words that changed his life. It is an amazing story. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am thrilled and honored to have on the line with me Chris Norton. I was reading his story in the Epic Times and thought, oh my gosh, I would really like to have him on during Holy Week. And the piece was titled, How Four Words Changed My Life Forever. Chris Norton, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Your story is a remarkable one. Where would you like to start to let our listeners know about what is going on in your life?
Yeah, I mean, so my story really took place, really changed back in 2010. I was playing college football at Luther College, a small town in Decorah, Iowa, and running down to make a tackle, sixth game of the season, 18-year-old kid, and just mistimed my tackle and just left me paralyzed on the field. I suffered a severe spinal cord injury. And I was flown out. I also had a 3% chance to ever regain any feeling or movement back again.
And again, what was that percentage that they said that you might gain movement?
3%.
A 3% chance to just ever move again, correct? I mean, it's astounding.
Yeah, to ever move. Not even to walk, to move, to feel. Yeah, it's much more than walking because while everyone gets caught up in the walking part, like people forget, like at that time, I couldn't even wipe the tears away from my eyes. I couldn't see myself. I could barely breathe.
You said that there were four words that changed your life. Tell us a little bit about that story.
So it was the fourth night. I'm in the hospital. And every night was the hardest. Like, got quiet. It was dark. All my fears just start pouring out, and I'm wondering, like, what's my future going to look like? Will I ever have fun, live a meaningful life? Will I ever meet a girl that will want to be with me and have a family? And as I'm, like, dealing with all these questions and really questioning whether all my time and effort is worth it, this physician comes in. It's around 2 in the morning. Actually, she's not a physician. She's a physician assistant, and they come in and check my vitals every 2 hours just to, like, see if everything's okay. Well, typically they just check it and they leave. Well, she comes over to my bedside. She gets down on one knee and she says, Chris, look me in the eyes. And she was kind of mean about it. And so I lock eyes with her. She's this short, redheaded woman. She's got these glasses and her voice. It sounded like she came, like, straight out of Western. Movie, she kind of gets draw, and she says, my name is Georgia. I'm from Wyoming. Do you know anyone from Wyoming? And I say no, and I'm just thinking, like, where is this going? Like, just let me get back to, you know, feeling sorry for myself and crying. Like, what is going on? And she says, well, people from Wyoming don't tell lies. And I want you to know, you will beat this. You will beat this. And I just instantly started crying. I needed to hear those words so badly. And in that moment, my faith is restored. And the thing about her is, like, Jesus said, like, hey, you can beat this, but you will beat this. And there's such a difference. And to hear it from her, like, someone on the medical side, someone that you look up to and you really hang on to every word, to get that from her just meant the world to me. And after that, I didn't question the time and effort I was putting into my recovery. And it just gave me that confidence to keep going no matter what. And so those four words of you will beat this completely kind of changed the trajectory of my life.
Did you see Georgia again?
So I saw her about a year ago, and I told her, well, I'm a year from that moment. I thanked her for those moments, and I don't know if she realized the impact she had. But now we're over 10 years out from that moment, and now as a keynote motivational speaker, that segment of just Georgia and the impact of our words and how that's so powerful, I share that in my keynote. It's always a question people ask. It's like, do you stay in contact with her? And I haven't. Like, I've lost contact with her, and I couldn't get back a hold of her until recently, about a couple weeks ago. I found her contact information and was able to have a Zoom call with her. And I let her know, like, of everything that I have going on and just how everybody wants to be like her. They want to be a Georgia for somebody else. And just how her kindness and her hope that she instilled in me is now being passed on. And I know that was really meaningful for her to hear that.
But she must have been inspired, Chris, because that can't be something that they say to each and every person. Do you think? I mean, I guess my question is false hope. And there's hope and there's false hope. How would you address that, Chris?
I would say false hope is better than no hope. And at that point, too, when you're only a couple days out from an injury, especially like a spinal cord injury, things will get better. Like, there's a lot of like healing that takes place. There's a lot of swelling around the spinal cord injury where it's going to reduce and that'll let some things come back. And you also just adjust to your circumstances. You learn how to adapt. And initially, any kind of transition, it's hard until you kind of start to figure it out. So, it might be false hope, but it was that false hope. And my hope was in my walking independently. I thought she was telling me, like, Chris, you're going to walk out of the hospital, because that was my goal and dream. And I thought that was everything at the time. And I thought that would be the ultimate miracle. But really, that faith and that hope really set me up to be susceptible to miracles that I never saw coming. Being able to like have a family, meet a wife. Emily's incredible to now I have a film, 7 Yards. It's on Netflix and books, and to inspire other people, like, that's really a miracle in my eyes. And I can see how, God is using my pain for a purpose. And well, I had this plan to walk independently and plan to do this and that. God ultimately had a greater plan for me.
Well, I actually was watching the video yesterday, and it was so inspiring and brought tears to my eyes. But let's go back to your toe, moving your toe, because I thought that was it was remarkable, because there was words that were spoken that were not hopeful. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in that moment, like, I'm trying in the hospital. I want to move something in my leg because I want to walk. I want to get strength back. And so everybody has told me that ever been a recovery in their legs after spinal cord injury. But the last marker of time was about the 4 or 5 week mark. Okay. So as I'm like, this ticking clock is going down, I'm waiting for movement in my legs. Well, it's about, 5 weeks in, I can't move anything in my legs. That's what I want. But I wake up to this new sensation in my left big toe, and it feels like I can almost move it, like break through this like invisible cast that had like covered my leg. I'm just trying to break through this wall. And so I'm excited about it. I'm with my dad, and I'm like, let's tell the doctor about this new sensation. And so the doctor finally comes in. I'm excited. I share this great news about this sensation in my toe, and you can just tell from the looks on his face that he really didn't care. Like, he was not excited. He was really uninterested. So I asked him to take my shoe sock off and maybe we could examine it and we could get some answers there, and he wouldn't do it. He said, Chris, you're experiencing a phantom feeling. This happens a lot with people with spinal cord injuries that these new sensations, you know, come up, but really it's just in our brain. They are often made up, and they can't be controlled. And so he kind of went on the spiel about these phantom feelings. And I knew in my heart, like, this isn't a phantom feeling. Like, this is something different. I'm very in tune with my body. And then the last thing he said, Chris, you'll never move anything in your legs ever again. And he just turns and walks out. Like, it was no big deal. Like, everything I've been working for just felt crushed. I was in tears. My dad was in tears. I've never seen my dad cry except for this moment. And he just says, you know, Chris, you can't let people tell you what you can and cannot do. And then I also hear George's words of, you will beat this. So I just recommit to my training. And not even a week later, after this moment, on Thanksgiving morning, of all mornings, I wiggled that exact left big toe. That doctor said I would never move again. And I was pumped. I was so fired up. I was telling all my nurses and therapists, everybody who ever came in my room to congratulate me. I'm like, you go find my doctor, who I like to call Dr. Phantom, and you bring him in my room. You tell him the Phantom this as I wiggle my toe in his face. No, unfortunately, he was gone that day. It was probably for the best. I might have been a little too fired up. But it was just such a huge breakthrough to move something in my legs, and it gave me so much more hope. And, you know, I saw from there strength come back, you know, throughout my legs and quads and hamstrings and calves.
Oh, it's remarkable. Hey, Chris Norton, we're going to go to break. We're going to continue in the next segment with this remarkable story. Before we do that, though, you're getting to hear this because of the great sponsors that I have, and one of them is Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And Ken, one of our listeners, sent me an email. He said, I stopped by Castlegate Knife coming home from Pueblo. I bought a knife. What a selection. So whether or not you're a sportsman, a chef, a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. They're doing these custom rifles now as well, and they're going to be starting a sharpening business. They're true small business entrepreneurs, so be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Chris Norton.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
This is AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. I am talking with Chris Norton, a remarkable story. And I had read his story in the Epoch Times and thought, oh, this is Holy Week. We really need to have him on. It's a remarkable story. And he basically, we started with four words that changed his life. He had a spinal injury playing football in 2010. He was 18 years old. And there was a physician's assistant, I think he said Georgia, that came in and said, Chris, you will beat this. And we had just talked about him moving his big toe when one of the doctors said that he wouldn't. So from there, Chris, what happens?
Well, I keep training. I keep trying to recover as much movement in my leg. I start to stand with assistance. I start to take some steps. I mean, at this point, though, like I have like three therapists like holding me up. Someone pulling my leg through. It was quite the obstacle to just try to take one step, but I just kept working at it and, you know, just kept believing that, you know, one day I'm going to walk. And I had this dream, too, goal that I'm going to walk across the stage of my college graduation. And so that's kind of what I set my sights for, which would be, you know, 4 years later. And so I just kept training in thousands of hours. Eventually, I met Emily, which became boyfriend, girlfriend, and met online, and she's just like a jewel. Like, she has such a passion and heart for helping others, and she looked right past my injury and just didn't care about the physical challenges and just got to know me for who I was. And she helped me train for this graduation walk that I set my sights for, and I told everybody about this goal. Like, I was in the front cover of the Des Moines Register, I had this dream, this walk across the stage. And then, you know, when that day came, I was so nervous, and I just wanted to inspire the room. Like, that was my goal, to inspire the room. And so I walk across the stage. It's about four steps. Emily helps me across, and the room just erupts, and like cheers, and people are crying. I was really caught off guard by how emotional it was. And then I was really caught off guard when that video went viral. It went viral across the whole world, 300 million views. We got to be on some of the largest talk shows. And it really just instilled in me a greater purpose to serve others and to really use my story, use my pain, my suffering, everything I've gone through to be an example for somebody else who's struggling, who's up against, you know, some big obstacles and they need some encouragement. And so that's really been a mission I've been on ever since.
And before we get to that, you decided to propose to Emily, correct?
Yeah. So to make that weekend, the graduation weekend, even more nerve-wracking and pack as much in as possible, I proposed to her the day before the graduation walk. And, you know, I just knew I was in love with her, and we were in love, and that we were going to spend the rest of our lives together. And we had family and friends in town, and what a great way to celebrate. And to not only have my girlfriend walk across, but my fiance helped me across the stage. And I couldn't eat that day when I was going to propose to her. I was very nervous for that too.
Yeah, talk about a couple of big things happening in your life. But she accepted, and there is another, I think, is it a Netflix? 7 Yards. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so then Emma and I set our sights on the next goal, to walk 7 yards down the aisle of our wedding and to do it side by side, not with her in front of me like she did for the graduation walking. When she moved to my side, I underestimated just how difficult that would be. So a documentary film crew approached us about, you know, covering, you know, our story and this goal to walk 7 yards down the aisle of our wedding. And I thought that'd be great. And they named the movie 7 Yards, and they started doing promotion for it. And when Emma and I tried to do that walk for the first time, I couldn't even take a step. So they already named the movie 7 Yards. I can't even take a couple steps, and I can't walk 5 yards. But so I'm just training and really making sure that I can accomplish those 7 yards. And but thankfully, you know, come the wedding day, after, again, thousands of hours of training, and I'm just believing, and every single night, I mean, I practicing this walk, I was, you know, able to walk down that aisle. But you're going to have to check it out in the film, 7 yards, and also seven, you know, represents the 7 years that I've been injured up to that point. And so it literally took me 7 years to walk 7 yards.
Wow. How old are you, Chris?
I'm 29.
Okay, 29 years old. So you've started a business, motivational speaking, and it's quite a story. How is that going?
It's gone really well. I started speaking in college. Now, I was not a natural speaker, but people wanted to hear the story. When I told the story, people just leaned in and they laughed, they cried, and I found that to be just really purposeful and fulfilling, and hearing people's responses afterwards. And so it just kind of blossomed and boomed into a business where now this is what I do full time. To travel the country, the world, as a motivational keynote speaker, speaking to organizations. And it's just so meaningful for me. I feel like it's my life work, and just to see my progress as a college kid to where I am now has been amazing. Obviously, I've been traveling this past year with the pandemic. I've been doing a lot of virtual, but it's something that I love doing, and empowering groups to really find their own power to stand, which is the title of my keynote, and just how it's not necessarily a physical ability to stand, but just to stand up to your fears and to the changes that are happening around us.
Well, and that website is chrisnorton.org. That's chrisnorton.org. We have maybe about 3 minutes left, Chris. Remarkable story. But you and Emily have a family. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Emily and I, we started fostering early on. We have fostered 18 children in all, and we've adopted 5 girls. 4 of them were in a sibling group, and another one was 19 at the time when we adopted her, and she's only 6 and 7 years younger than Emily and I. So big family, and now we have 7 kids in all. We divided out the girls, fostering 1 little boy, and then we also are co-parenting another. So big family.
And I saw there was actually a video of when you let these 4 little girls know that you were adopting them. And that really brought tears to my eyes as well. And it's rather remarkable, from laying in a hospital bed wondering, will I ever have a family? Will I ever have a wife, somebody that I loved? Well, you know, what's going to happen? And here you have a business, a wife, a family. It is remarkable. And you are a man of faith, Chris Norton. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, my faith is what gave me kind of this light at the end of the tunnel when I was first injured, because I'm asking, like, why is this happening? Like, what is going on? Like, God, what are you doing? Like, you're not supposed to, you know, make mistakes. And, like, this feels like a mistake. And, you know, before that, you know, I had a faith in God, but I always try to depend on myself versus God. And in that moment, I really learned to depend on God and just how good, you know, He is, and to, you know, give thanks to Him for everything that you do have, even in the midst of a crisis. And I just knew that, you know, God can, you know, take your pain and turn it into a purpose if you allow Him. And I believed in that. I believed in that. Well, even though it was hard and I questioned it, I just kept choosing that faith over the fear that I was wrestling with every single night. And it's amazing to see what He's done. Like, He's completely transformed my life, and I can now see, you know, how He was working all the pieces together for Him and to glorify Him. And I'm just really thankful for that. And I'm also really excited that now the film 7 Yards is now on Netflix, the world's largest streaming platform, and to share an encouraging, uplifting film and to receive the reviews off of that, it's just incredible to see that.
Well, Chris Norton, I so appreciate you joining us. It is a remarkable story. So much inspiration, so much motivation, and so much hope and faith. It's just a remarkable story, and I so appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Kim, for having me.
And that website for Chris is chrisnorton.org, The Power to Stand. Again, that's chrisnorton.org. And so my friends today, our quote is from Dale Carnegie. And he said, remember, happiness doesn't depend upon who you are or what you have. It depends solely upon what you think. So start each day by thinking of all the things you have to be thankful for. Your future will depend very largely on the thoughts you think today. So think thoughts of hope and confidence and love and success. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.